It's Tuesday, August 11th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here. Some good news to pass on for the cannabis community. Cheech Marin, half of Cheech and Chong, got married this last weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Natasha Rubin. They even walked down the aisle to the sounds of their song, Earache My Eye. You know the tune. It's the one we use at the beginning of the Daily Toker Tune segment. There was no word on whether or not the groom wore a pair of pantyhose. Also, we had a Normal conference call today to discuss finalizing our plans for the NormalCon 2009 at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in San Francisco, California, taking place on September 24th through 26th. The panels are really starting to fill out well. We've confirmed Rick Steves, the noted travel guru, as our closing speaker. We've got a pot and athleticism panel that's going to have a columnist from ESPN Magazine, a triathlete slash college swimmer named Juan Bocanegra. We're also working on getting Rob Van Dam, the professional wrestler, onto the panel. That's still tentative based on his filming schedule for a new movie. So all sorts of great information is going to be handed out. If you can make it there, you want to get registered as soon as possible. We've already sold out all of our block of rooms at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. They are extending some extra rooms for people if you order now. Check out norml.org/conference for more details. What time is that? Well, I'm glad you asked, Morris Day, on our normal calendar, which you can reach at norml.org/calendar. We've got the Lords of the Revolution series that's on VH1 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. They're featuring a look at Cheech and Chong, and there's some clips there of Keith Stropp talking about their influence on the cannabis community. Tonight in Portland, Oregon, at 10 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be appearing at Dante's at 3rd and Burnside for a episode of the Ed Foreman Show. They tell me this is kind of a comedic Stephen Colbert-like TV show, and we'll be talking about healthcare and medical marijuana, so I'll be there. I don't know if any video or audio will be available later, but you can check out myspace.com/Ed Foreman to find out more information. And when I find out more, I'll put a link on stash.normal.org. Also tomorrow, for those of you in North Ohio, North Ohio Normal will be having their online meeting. You can contact CNEUFER at neo.rr.com for more information. It's a normal shout-out. Lots of normal shout-outs to get to today. I received emails from folks in West Virginia and in Louisiana who are looking to form normal chapters. We've got, of course, our standing shout-outs for Connecticut and Mississippi that we mentioned last week. An activist in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the state capital, is looking to start a Harrisburg normal. And in the state capital of California, Sacramento, we're trying to get a Sacramento normal going. So if you live in any of those areas, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll do what we can to hook you up with other like-minded activists. And on the international front, I actually received an email from Morocco. That's right, the country of Morocco, well known for its hashish, emailed me to know about starting an international chapter there. I'll keep you posted on what happens, and on the off chance someone from Morocco is listening to me and speaks English, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll do what we can to get you all hooked up. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, we begin, as always, with your hemp headlines and a look at drug czar Kerlikowske clarifying his statement that marijuana has no medical value. Georgia Representative Tommy Benton continues his tirade against cannabis users. Remember, he was the one that suggested we should cane cannabis users like they do in Singapore. California Normal's Dale Gehringer has a post up about California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's plans to reduce his prison budget and release 44,000 inmates. It doesn't have anything to do with letting nonviolent marijuana offenders go. You'll be surprised at who he plans on releasing. And finally, from the statistical department, we have an interesting map that shows us the top five states with the highest prevalence of marijuana use. Find out if your state is there by listening to our hemp headlines. Today is Tuesday, and we always feature our California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner. Eric brings you an analysis of the California governor's race and the governor's candidate's stance on marijuana and legalization, and some music from Buddy Miles. In our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, it's Variety Tuesday, and we'll be listening to The Last Soul by Sticky Mouse. And in our Government at Work segment, we speak with Claire Sower of the League of Women Voters of Southeast Connecticut, who will be examining the idea of marijuana decriminalization in Connecticut and making a recommendation to all the League of Women Voters across the country. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and/or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Drug czar Kerlikowske, I meant smoked marijuana is dangerous and has no medicinal value. From KOMO-TV. Less than 3 months into his job as the nation's drug czar and former Seattle police chief, Gil Kerlikowske has found himself under fire, quoted as saying, quote, marijuana is dangerous and has no medicinal benefit, end quote. Back in Seattle for a roundtable discussion on drug policy, Kerlikowske sat down with Como News and addressed the comment, quote, I certainly said that legalization is not in the president's vocabulary, nor is it in mine, Kerlikowske said. But the other question was in reference to smoked marijuana. And as we know, the FDA has not determined that smoked marijuana has a value. And this is clearly a medical question, and that's where I've been leaving it. End quote. Asked if he regretted what he said, Kerlikowske said, quote, sometimes you make a mistake and you work very hard to correct it. That happens. I should have clearly said smoked marijuana and then gone on to say that this is clearly a question that should be answered by the medical community, end quote. So then, are you admitting that eaten, vaporized, or topical marijuana preparations do have a medical value? Seems to me the mistake Director Kerlikowske made was not having his Reefer Madness talking points properly memorized before press conferences. Kerlikowske's stand on legalizing marijuana for everyone is more clear-cut. The Office of National Drug Control Policy, by law, actively works against legalizing drugs. Quote, "You know from the University of Washington, the number one call from young people for treatment here, after alcohol, is marijuana. So I'm not seeing the benefit to society with legalization at all." End quote. Yes, because the criminal justice system has sentenced 58% of marijuana users to mandatory drug treatment when they are caught with marijuana. Another 28% are referred by their employer or school or other source where their choice is to go to rehab or lose their job or scholarship or financial aid. Only 15% of the people seeking treatment for marijuana are there because they admitted themselves, and many of them are also attending only because of coercion. For comparison's sake, for that number one drug, alcohol, 28% admit themselves to treatment, and only 43% are admitted through criminal justice. For those who use alcohol with a secondary drug, those numbers change to 32% of self-admissions and 35% criminal justice admissions. I do want to give props to KOMO in Seattle for pointing out that the ONDCP, by law, must oppose legalization, no matter what the science and public opinion may say on the matter. There is no other federal government agency I can think of that is mandated by law to specifically oppose a public policy option. Georgia Representative Tommy Benton replies to constituent letter concerning caning for marijuana users. Here's the letter one stasher sent to Representative Tommy Benton of Georgia regarding his remarks that we should resort to Singapore-style caning of marijuana users and execution of marijuana dealers. Representative Benton, I am concerned with a comment you recently made to a constituent about your opposition to legalizing marijuana. If correct, while you state that you oppose the legalization of marijuana, you were quoted as adding that you, quote, think we should go to caning for people caught using and maybe execute dealers, end quote. As a resident of Georgia for 24 years, I find your statement extremely troubling. I would hope that as a representative of this great state, you would understand that the Constitution of the United States explicitly forbids cruel and unusual punishment, which surely caning and execution for marijuana dealing would be considered as such. Furthermore, in Singapore, a country whose drug laws you referenced, anybody found in the locale of drug activity is guilty until proven innocent, which is in stark contrast to the constitutional protection afforded to American citizens, which makes this country so great. It is my hope that you will reconsider and recant such an un-American statement. I support marijuana legalization mainly because my conservative values refuse the idea that the government of the United States or the government of Georgia should claim sovereignty over any citizen's mind or body. I support individual freedom and minimal government intervention into people's personal lives, even though such freedom allows fellow Georgians to reach conclusions I do not agree with and make choices that I would not make myself. As a proud Republican of this state, I would hope that you, too, could analyze your conservative values and renew your support for individual freedom and small government by supporting marijuana legalization. Respectfully, J.C., DeKalb County. Representative Benton's thoughtful and considered response? No can do! Tommy Benton. I'm not certain if Representative Benton's no can do applies to recanting the caning statement, analyzing his conservative values, or supporting marijuana legalization. I do know that in addition to not understanding the Constitution and wanting to punish marijuana users, Representative Benton doesn't understand basic English composition and likes to punish his exclamation point key. Governor Schwarzenegger's prison plan, jail the potheads, let car thieves go free. From IndieBay. As California considers how to reduce prison spending, it has overlooked releasing nonviolent marijuana prisoners in favor of car thieves. Later this month, the legislature will be debating a plan by Governor Schwarzenegger to reduce $1.2 billion in prison spending as part of the state's budget deal. Last week, a federal court ordered the state to eliminate 44,000 inmates over the next 2 years to reduce overcrowding. However, a draft of the administration's plan by the Department of Corrections Budget Office makes no mention of marijuana or other nonviolent drug prisoners. Instead, it proposes raising the felony threshold for crimes such as grand theft, writing bad checks, and receiving stolen property. This would make it a misdemeanor instead of a felony to steal an automobile valued at less than $2,500. In contrast, current laws make it a felony to sell a single joint or grow a single marijuana plant. Over the years, the state has rejected repeatedly proposals to reduce marijuana penalties. The governor has indicated his opposition to Tom Amiano's bill AB 390 that would eliminate pot prisoners by legalizing, regulating, and taxing marijuana. California Normal Director Dale Geringer says, quote, "The governor's message seems to be, don't tax pot, steal a car." To help cut prison spending, California Normal is calling on the legislature to reduce penalties for marijuana sales and cultivation from mandatory felonies to optional misdemeanors. Geringer says, quote, "If the state needs to eliminate prisoners, nonviolent marijuana crimes are a good place to start," end quote. As of December 31, 2008, California had 1,538 marijuana felons in state prison, 15 times as many as in 1980. Another 30,000 prisoners are serving time for nonviolent drug offenses, 12,000 of them for simple possession. The Legislative Analyst Office estimates that 1 year of incarceration costs the state an average of $49,000. This executes statewide a similar situation I reported on in Contra Costa County, California, back in April. Misdemeanors such as assaults, thefts, and burglaries will no longer be prosecuted in Contra Costa, California, because of budget cuts, the county's top prosecutor said Tuesday. People who are suspected of misdemeanor drug crimes, break minor traffic laws, shoplift, trespass, or commit misdemeanor vandalism will also be in the clear. Those crimes won't be prosecuted either. The changes are needed to help eliminate a $1.9 million budget deficit in the district attorney's office for this fiscal year. By month's end, 6 deputy district attorneys will be laid off, and 11 more will have to be let go by the end of the year. Isn't it amazing that even in times of dire economic need, California's politicians are still more fearful of the threat to public order from nonviolent marijuana users and growers than car thieves, stolen goods fencers, check kiters, shoplifters, vandals, trespassers, traffic scofflaws, and people who assault other people? The top 5 states with the most marijuana use. The New York Times has a nifty interactive map based on data from the 2006-2007 National Surveys on Drug Use and Health. We have links to the data on stash.normal.org. It provides a drop-down menu to choose which data set you'd like, which I naturally use to choose percent of people 12 and older who have used marijuana in the past year. Based on that information, your top 5 stoner states are... Number 5. Colorado, 12.99%. Number 4, Oregon, 13.12%. Number 3, Alaska, 13.79%. Number 2, Vermont, 15.75%. And the number 1 state with the percentage of people 12 and older who have used marijuana in the past year, Rhode Island, at 16.12% of the population. Surprised that California isn't in that list? Me too. I'm not at all surprised by Vermont, Alaska, Oregon, and Colorado, but stunned that Rhode Island came in at number 1. Now, I'd caution that this represents everyone from the once-a-year-at-a-concert toker all the way through the Daily Stasher. If frequency and amount used were considered, I'd be willing to wager that we here in Oregon are, higher than number four. Now, curious about your bottom five? Number five, Alabama, 7.96%. Number four, Texas, 7.92%. Number three, Mississippi, 7.79%. Number two, Iowa, 7.32%. And the number one state with the lowest percent of people 12 and older who have used marijuana in the past year, Utah, at 7.17%. Now that number one result for Utah shouldn't surprise anyone with its majority Mormon population that even rejects coffee drinking. Another category where Utah is number one is consumption of Jell-O, which was actually named the official state snack. True story. Oddly enough, the one time Utah lost its Jell-O crown was when Iowa briefly overtook them. So I wonder, is there some sort of yin-yang thing going on between cannabis and gelatin snacks? If you're too high, does it make it tough to follow the Jell-O recipe? Or is it that you get such munchies that you don't have time to wait for the Jell-O to set? By the way, does anybody have a recipe for ganja Jell-O? Maybe that's the solution. I also thought it would be interesting to look at the top five states for binge alcohol drinking. Number five, Rhode Island, 27.92%. Number four, South Dakota, 28.34%. Number three, Minnesota, 28.75%. Number two, Wisconsin, 28.84%. And the number one binge alcohol drinking state, North Dakota, with 32.02% of their population 12 and older who have engaged in binge drinking this year. Apparently, Rhode Island is the place to get your drink on and your smoke on. But for the other top five stoner states, binge drinking rates fall somewhere in the middle of the country, from Oregon and Alaska in the lower 20s, toward Vermont and Colorado, which are in the mid 20s, and unsurprisingly, Utah at 15.64% is at the bottom of this list as well. I suppose if Jell-O vodka shots aren't bumping that number up, ganja Jell-O won't likely work either.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch.
NormalCon 2009, Yes We Cannabis, September 24th through 26th, 2009, in San Francisco, California.
The war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama was right in 2004, and 5 years later, the American people agree.
I think it's time for debate, and I think that we ought to study very carefully on what other countries are doing that have legalized marijuana.
At our 38th annual conference, you'll learn all the facts you need in the debate to legalize marijuana.
As regards to legalization, it's not in the president's vocabulary, and it's not in mine.
We're working hard to make sure legalization is in the drug czar's vocabulary.
Whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy, the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy.
There's nothing funny about legalization, Mr. President, or waiting until the last minute to book your trip to NormalCon 2009. Early bird registration rates apply until August. Registration, sponsorships, and vending information is available at norml.org or by calling 888-67-NORMAL.
California Marijuana Report from Marin County, California. This is the California Marijuana Report for the week of August 10, 2009. I'm Eric Brenner. This week, the so-called major gubernatorial candidates sound off about pot. And we're in Los Angeles with the Buddy Miles Express on our California Marijuana Music segment, only on the California Marijuana Report. Legalized pot, a tough sell in the governor's race. This is the title of the article in the San Francisco Chronicle on Saturday, August 8th, 2009, authored by Bob Agelko, Chronicle staff writer. Bob was nice enough to list the major candidates for governor's opinions on marijuana legalization. So we're going to start with the biggest bum of the week, Democratic Attorney General Jerry Brown, who in 1975 signed the law, the decriminalization law here in California, reducing possession of less than an ounce of marijuana to a misdemeanor, to a $100 fine from a felony. He signed that bill. But in 2009, when asked, what do you think? Should we legalize marijuana? Here's what Jerry Brown had to say. If the whole society starts getting stoned, we're going to be even less competitive. We're going to have more broken families and more angry husbands and wives. Close quotes. Jerry Brown, how dare you? How dare you say something so stupid and so reckless and so irresponsible? How dare you? Here's a guy who in the 70s had a long-term relationship with country rock star Linda Ronstadt, a beautiful woman, a very talented, beautiful woman. Are you telling me in that household there wasn't a joint or two passed around? I am so disappointed with the former two-term governor of the state of California, the former two-term mayor of the city of Oakland. So we called Jerry Brown's office earlier this afternoon to try to get an interview and have him expound on these statements that he made on KKGN about marijuana and his so-called frustrated husband and angry wife conspiracy theory that he has here with marijuana. We did not get a return phone call from Attorney General Jerry Brown. Moving forward, Gavin Newsom, San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom, whose campaign spokesman says he opposes legalization, and now quoting the mayor, I welcome an open dialogue in California on the relative merits of legalization of cannabis. While marijuana has medicinal properties, it also has adverse effects. Close quotes. Now, interestingly enough, 3 weeks ago when I had asked Ed Rosenthal on the California Marijuana Report, I asked Ed, who are you supporting for governor? And was very interested in his thoughts on Gavin Newsom. The race for governor here in California, who are you supporting? Who are you thinking of supporting? I really want to know your thoughts on Gavin Newsom.
You know, I haven't really studied it, but I think that Newsom would not be totally bad. I think that he's had some, except for the district attorney. I don't think that he's been totally bad. I just have to see who else is running.
Would you expect Newsom to support Ammiano's bill?
Yes, there are a lot of dispensaries in San Francisco. He hasn't come out and campaigned against him, and I think when he sees the numbers, I'm talking about both the financial numbers and the polls in terms of marijuana, why not?
Sounds to me like Newsom is the new Schwarzenegger. Moving on to Steve Poizner. This guy's the state insurance commissioner. Now, Poizner is a Republican. This is what Poizner had to say about the idea of legalizing marijuana. Quote, like electing Jerry Brown as governor, the idea of legalizing drugs is one more bad idea from a bygone era, said Jared Agin, spokesman for Steve Poizner. So we know Poizner's bad news. Let's move on to the former Republican congressman, Tom Campbell. I can't tell you how disappointed I am in this guy right now. Here's a gentleman who was one of the most respected members of Congress at one time. A fiscal conservative, a social liberal. He was labeled soft on drugs. My type of guy going soft on drugs. When asked, do you feel we should legalize marijuana here in the state of California. Campbell says he opposes legalizing marijuana because it could open the door to organized crime. Law enforcement contacts, he said, have warned him that Mexican marijuana distributors also dominate the meth trade. And, quote, if you legalize one, you run the risk of creating a distribution mechanism for the other. What a farce. Tom Campbell, please, throwing out scare tactics to, I guess, secure the nomination? Campbell has a real challenger here with so-called big candidate number five, Meg Whitman, the former chief executive of eBay, said she opposes legalizing marijuana for any reason. Quote, we have enough challenges in our society without heading down the path of drug legalization. She won't even endorse legalizing marijuana for medical purposes. Shame on you, Meg Whitman.
It ain't been too long.
The aim of the game is to feel real good. The aim of the game is to feel real good. The aim of the game is to feel real good.
And now some California marijuana music. This week we're in L.A. with the Buddy Miles Express. From the album Expressway to Your Skull, here's Train. Buddy Miles is a California rock legend, only on the California Marijuana Report.
Don't you go nowhere, yeah. Can't stand it, baby. Want you to go, no, no. dark. Don't want you to go. Baby, 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 you come on. Come on. Baby, don't take the train. No. Come on. And stay with me. Don't take it. Don't you go back. Don't you go back.
This has been the California Marijuana Report for the week of August 10, 2009. Special thanks to Buddy Miles, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and of course Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Please join our group on Facebook. I'm Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report.
Hey Tokers, this is Radical Russ. There's only one thing I love as much as fine Oregon bud, and that's spicy food so hot it'll peel paint. Thanks to the generous sponsorship of HerbAgeDesigns.com, I'm putting both my true loves to the test to support the launch of Normal Show Live. It's the El Jefe Chicken Hot Wings Eating Contest, Friday, August 28th, here in Portland, and the contest benefits the American Red Cross, another favorite charity of mine. You can help. We're signing up pledges for the contest starting as low as 25 cents per wing, up to the 20 wings I'm pledging to eat. You can win, too. The top money entry and a randomly selected entry win HerbAge prizes and one of my Starfish Designs Gandalf-style pieces of glass art. Send in your entry to stash@normal.org with the subject Hot Wings Contest and tell me how much you'll pledge per wing, up to 20 wings. Also include your real name, age, and shipping address should you win the prize. Only entries from adults 18 and older will be accepted. Starfish Designs prizes will not be shipped to Idaho, Pennsylvania, or Indiana.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. It's Variety Tuesday, and here's a great instrumental track from the Netherlands, The Last Soul by Sticky Mouse. The Last Soul was nominated in Best Spiritual Song of the 2008 Global MMAs. Sticky Mouse is interested in the spiritual ideas of the death metal scene. He says the lyrics speak of making your own destiny and following a positive path in life. For more than 5 years, Sticky Mouse has been in a number of hardcore bands, as well as working on solo projects.
To keep up with the latest about Sticky Mouse, check out myspace.com/stickymouse. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this tune. It's The Last Soul by Sticky Mouse.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, the ego cries, the birds they sing, the creatures burn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny?
I'm joined now by a former state representative in the state of Connecticut, Claire Sauer, who's with the League of Women Voters of Southeast Connecticut. Claire, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I received information through email, and this was an opinion piece that I'd seen up in one of the Connecticut papers, The Day, apparently. And it talks about how the League of Women Voters of Southeastern Connecticut is embarking on a study to examine whether or not to decriminalize marijuana. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that?
That's right. The way the league operates, it's a strictly bottoms-up organization. We start at the grassroots, and anything that we want to study, we have to present both, look into it, research it as much as possible, present both sides of the issue, and then we go to our members and seek consensus. Once we have consensus one way or another, whether the marijuana should be decriminalized, we can take action and lobby our state legislators with our position. There was a law introduced in the last session of the legislature urging decriminalization, and because the league did not have a position, we could not act on it one way or another.
Oh, I see. So is the motivation then to embark on this study from that bill and you wanting to take a position on it in the next year?
That's part of it. It's also just something that a lot of us have been interested in because things are happening around the country, and even on the national level, changes are being discussed. And we would like to be able to be in a position where we could take action.
Okay. On what levels of this issue do you intend to study? And I mean, like, are we talking about the medical aspects? Are we talking about the legal aspects? Where do you want to go with this study?
We want to look at all aspects of it, and we have to concentrate on southeastern Connecticut. And our hope is that if we come to a position on the issue as it relates to southeastern Connecticut, that we will then urge other leagues throughout the state to take what we call concurrence, and they would be able to go to their members and decide if they want to concur with a position that we have taken. They don't have to go through the whole study process that we are going through.
Now, of course, the League of Women Voters nationwide is revered for being a neutral arbiter in a lot of these things. League of Women Voters for a long time sponsored the presidential debates until, I guess, just, you know, fairly recently.
There's two arms of the League of Women Voters. There's our voter service aspect of it. We moderate a lot of debates, and that's strictly on a nonpartisan issue. But the League is also very active on taking positions on issues, never on candidates, but on issues. And we will lobby very, very hard on issues that we believe in, that we have already studied and come to a position on.
To your knowledge, now, again, with the League being a neutral organization like this, but to your knowledge, is this the first time that a League of Women Voters chapter has looked at the issue of marijuana prohibition?
As far as I know, it is. If there are other League studies going on, I'm just not aware of them.
Okay. Do you have any organizations, educational organizations, universities, or anything like that you're working with to get the data for this study?
Well, we're working with the Central Connecticut State University. There, I think that was described in the newspaper article that they have done a lot of work on how surveys should be conducted, and they're helping us somewhat with the methodology.
Okay.
Because we really have just started on this.
Okay, okay. And, of course, I imagine, you know, again, being a neutral organization, you're going to be getting expert opinions from all sides, you know.
Right.
From, you know, of course, I'm biased, of course, but from our side and from the other side and so on. Will there be any opportunity for input from the public at large?
It's possible we might be doing some general surveys, but the input as far as a position just comes from League members.
Oh, I see.
Anybody is, men and women are welcome to join our League and would be in a position to voice their opinions when it comes time to make to come to consensus.
Okay.
But I think we'll probably be having public information meetings where people could come and they could voice their opinions. But when it comes to the actual consensus, that's just League members.
I see. Okay, well, let's give everyone a chance to get in touch with you if they're interested in joining the League of Women Voters of Southeastern Connecticut. Do you have a website or phone number or email addresses they should know?
Yeah, lwvvct.org/lwvsect. That's League of Women Voters Connecticut Organization, and then League of Women Voters Southeastern Connecticut.
Okay.
So you have the abbreviations there then, right?
Gotcha. lwvct.org/lwvsect.
SECT, yes. And that has a membership brochure and activities and events and our officials and everything.
Excellent. Well, I'd encourage people to get involved with the League of Women Voters, even outside of this issue. I've always respected the organization. I think you do a great job providing nonpartisan political information that people can really use these days. It's, you know.
Good. Well, I have been a member of the League of Women Voters for over 50 years. I've served on the state board in New York and Connecticut. And I just have great respect for the organization. So.
Yeah, especially these days when it seems like all of our news coverage is, you know, hyper-partisan to one degree or another. It's nice to get someone that's trying to maintain some neutrality here and just provide the facts. And we really appreciate you taking a look at the marijuana issue, especially because, I mean, we can advocate it for all we want, but people are naturally going to see us as biased. So,
right.
You know, we like to see someone who's purported to, you know, take a look at the facts, talk to all sides, and provide a neutral look at it. And we really appreciate you doing that.
Well, we're very, very interested in it, and we hope we can do a good study on it. But
okay.
It was nice to talk to you.
All right. Claire Sauer from the League of Women Voters of Southeast Connecticut, thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
And where is this? I'm not familiar with your program.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.marijuana.org.
stash.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.norml.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes, this one from the famous author Norman Mailer, who wrote, quote, "One's condition on marijuana is always existential. One can feel the importance of each moment and how it is changing one. One feels one's being. One becomes aware of the enormous apparatus of nothingness. One becomes aware of the war between each of us, how the nothingness in each of us seeks to attack the being of others, how our being in turn is attacked by the nothingness in others." End quote. Wow, that's pretty deep, and I think I need to smoke another bowl to fully understand it. Thanks for joining us here for the podcast, and a reminder that I'll be at Dante's tonight in Portland, 10 p.m., for the Ed Foreman Show. We'll have posts and updates as soon as I can get them. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.